Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. This is the Entree Architect Podcast, episode 101. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. Starting your own design business while still in architecture school, graduating and growing and building that simple idea into a thriving, multidisciplined design build company, that's what this week's guest did. On the show is a former guest from way back in episode 8. Yes, this is episode 101. Back in episode 8, he's joining us after 2 years of development on his company. This week on the Entree Architect Podcast, we are discussing how to grow your design business with Brian Korkadilis of Design Blends, LLC. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by Arcasnapper, a great way to create and manage field reports. Learn more at entrearchitect.com/Arcasnapper. And FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. Brian Korkadilis, welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you back. It's been a long, long time. Long-time listeners may remember you from episode 8. And we just completed 100.
Wow.
And so it's a long time ago.
Yep. For sure. I'm still around.
Yeah. That's good. Episode 8 was Breaking All the Rules, Building a Successful Design Firm While Still in Architecture School. It's still a popular episode. People are still listening to it.
Yep. Yeah, I got an email actually not too long ago from a student out in Australia who had listened to it and kind of was asking me some questions. So that was pretty remarkable. It's like, oh yeah, and then it reminded me. I said, I got to get back in touch with Mark and kind of update him on what we're doing here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a long time. It was August of 2013. You had just graduated from Philadelphia University College of Architecture.
Yep.
And you had just you had launched Design Blends, which is your firm. Mm-hmm. In 2011 as an architecture student while in architecture school. And so you had been in business for a little while, and you had just graduated, and you and your team over there had sort of just decided to take this thing full blast and go for it. And, yep. And you know, that's been 2 years. So I wanted to invite you back to the podcast and get an update, find out, you know, what's been going on for the past 2 years. But before that, let's just, for the people who didn't listen to episode 8, which they should listen to the whole thing. But if they want to know a little bit about you, who you are, where you came from, how you started Design Blends, and then we'll get the update, what's going on in the last 2 years.
Sure. So, like you stated, my name is Brian Corcadillas. Right now I'm the principal and founder of Design Blends. Back when I was in architecture school, it was actually in our third year, we kind of came up with this concept of kind of blending together all disciplines of design and how different disciplines could work together. Essentially, we started kind of with a little niche, kind of doing some 3D visualizations and things that were just assisting firms. Like, you know, I remember our first job was a $200 rendering for a firm, and it took us like 45 hours. So we learned a valuable lesson there. But from there, I mean, we just kind of started, you know, moonlighting for firms. You know, we you know, kind of initially out of school, we were all working full-time jobs, you know, 9 to 5s, 8 to 5s, whatever you have it at the firm. We would come home, work another 8-hour day and assist firms at night because we knew there was a niche and kind of a need there where firms had deadlines and they didn't have, you know, employees or people that could get those done. Fast forward a little while after that, I was consulting at a firm through February of 2014, where I got to the point where I jumped. I quit my full-time job, took a leap, said, let's try it. I had friends and people that were working with us kind of come and work in their full-time day jobs when I could be dealing with the clients. Come home, they would work another 8-hour days, double their salary for the day. Eventually, July came. Tony Hopkins, who's a great guy on our team, he quit his job full-time. I said, hey, let's try this for 6 months. I remember writing his 6-month contract and going, let's see what we can do. A month later, another guy jumped full-time, wrote his contract, gave him a full-time salary because he had more student loans. You know, it was just being transparent. From there, you know, we were obviously still picking up work, still had outside consultants that were helping us. And fast forward to today, you know, we were working out of our row home here in Philadelphia. We moved from the smallest room in the row home to the biggest room in the row home, and then we got an office down on Main Street, Manayunk, which is really cool, which we're at today. We now have 5 full-time employees. We have an outside consultant group of about 10 to 15 people that work with us full-time. We also have kind of different entities of our company. You know, we're not just doing renderings anymore. We're doing design work. We're creating collaborative relationships with architecture firms. We're also doing design build work, development stuff, property acquisitions, and selling real estate. So it's kind of transformed a lot further than, you know, $200 renderings back in school. And, you know, we're just excited. You know, we now have that office in Manayunk. We're getting another office in Manayunk for our construction team. We also have an office in the city for our property acquisition side. But, you know, we've kind of set up different entities that cater to different markets and that flawlessly work together well for our clients. And they really appreciate that.
So it sounds like you've expanded your services significantly from yes. from the 3D renderings you were doing back in 2013. Could you talk a little bit more about what services you're providing and why you went in those directions?
Sure. So so right now we kind of have Design Blend structured into 3 separate sides of our company: the create side, the visualization side, and the development side. On the create side, we've been helping clients with more of a feasibility understanding of what their buildings can be and the potential that they have for their buildings. You know, a lot of it is zoning studies, you know, max allowable square footage, things like that, and you know, floor to area ratios, putting together zoning packages for them to submit for new development. We also do some conceptual design. You know, we have a box and what's the most we can fit into that box, and we kind of help clients on that end. We've also been doing some prototyping, which is pretty cool. We have a 3D printer in our office. So a lot of times we're doing architectural models for people with that 3D printer and kind of experimenting. We've actually worked for Coca-Cola and helped them with a non-disclosure prototype, which I can't say, but it's we can't tell you about, but it's pretty cool. So on that side, on the create side, is really for us understanding and creating something, you know, and learning what it could be. And then we kind of take it to the visualization side of our company, understand what this thing can look like, understand the experience that it gives to people. So on the visualization side, we obviously, we don't do $200 renderings anymore, but we do still do renderings, and we've been helping architecture firms throughout the city, around the nation, really visualize what they're designing and being able to express that very well to their end clients. We're also doing 3D animations for big developments around the U.S., mainly here in Philly. We've been doing some. On the visualization side, too, we're doing web design. So essentially, we've become the guys in Philadelphia that you go to for 3D real estate marketing. We offer one of the best packages for developers that are trying to pre-market and pre-sell all their new construction projects. So we've created packages that have been pre-selling over 50% of new construction before a shovel even hits the ground, which you can imagine has been keeping us pretty busy with our clients on that regard. And then on the develop side, which for me, you know, I really like, because we kind of take it full spectrum all the way through. A client service on that side, we've been doing some owner's representation, helping them pick the right contractors, helping them understand their drawings from the architect, and really helping them manage the construction process, because we do it ourselves. There was no talk of development last time we spoke, but since then, internally, we've done a 4-unit apartment building, which we have within our company. We've done multiple single-family redevelopment projects. Currently, we have 3 projects going on right now, which are in multiple phases. One, they're acquiring next week. The other one just finished up drywall. And, you know, the third one's sitting, waiting 30 days on the market. So on that regard, it's been going pretty well. And for us, we like it because we create it, we visualize it, and then we end up developing it internally. So it's been pretty fun ride so far.
Yeah, that sounds like a great ride. Yep. Are you all trained as architects?
So right now, everybody in the office has a 5-year bachelor's of architecture, and our IDP hours have been completed at former jobs. Actually, one guy in our office, Scott Woodruff, he's the closest to becoming licensed. He's just crossed his halfway point, which is great. And he just told me this morning that he's getting his he's scheduling his next test today. So right now, the plans to open up Design Bones Architecture are somewhere in the mid 2016 realm, which is what we're shooting for. On the architecture side, now we more keep it to a conceptual realm, and we team up with architecture firms, big and small, depending on the projects. So, for example, like if we do something residential based, you know, the client might come to us and say, "Hey, can you help us?" Yeah, of course, we can help you come up with the design. We immediately bring in an architecture firm that we've worked with on 10 different projects at this point. So that's been pretty good on that side. So essentially, we bring it up to a point of, you know, conceptual/design development, and then we hand it over in a way and work with them on, and well, they do the construction docs. We just then go find the next project and bring the client pretty much through the create and visualization side of it, which is where they really appreciate that level of you know, service that they're not used to seeing in other places. And I think that's why we've been able to help clients, you know, have a smoother process through the built environment.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you are either supplemental to an architect, or you're working as a consultant to an architect, and so and development.
Correct.
As well.
Yep.
So you're not replacing an architect, because I heard a lot of architects while you were describing all the services that you're providing who are listening saying, yeah, that's an architect who's not, you know, not a non-licensed architect practicing architecture, but you're not practicing architecture.
Correct.
You're doing some conceptual design, you're doing development, and you're collaborating with architects and bringing architects on and actually helping architects get their job done.
And I mean, you know, it's funny you say that. You know, architects, what we've been noticing too in this trend is where architects are hiring us over, you know, using us for various services. There was a 3 weeks ago, I'll tell you, we had the craziest day come through. We had a 31-unit multifamily feasibility study. We had a funeral home and a water park come through the door all in one day. And we kind of all looked at each other like, what is going on? So let me tell you what we did for each one. So the feasibility study was, hey, I got a warehouse. What can we put in here? Well, that's easy. We can help you through zoning and, you know, work with this firm. They'll get it done for you, right? And then the funeral home was a rendering for a client, which was pretty cool. We seen a set of funeral home docs was very interesting, right? And then the water park was really cool. That was, hey, we're a development firm. We got contracted to expand this water park. Here's the existing drawings. We need a full-blown Revit model so we can coordinate that with the slide consultants so they can they know exactly where their slides can fit in and also verified in the field. So essentially, we're right now the guys, you know, we pretty much almost have this thing modeled up. Next week, we're going out to just kind of check some measurements that we couldn't understand from the drawings, put it into the model, and then they'll essentially ship that model over to the slide consultants who will need shop drawings anyway to verify everything. So, I mean, it's just the breadth of like projects that we've been seeing because of the service that we're offering to other firms. And developers is it's pretty unique.
Yeah, I would say it's also inspiring. I hope that many of the architects who are listening are listening to all the different services that you're providing and maybe sort of coming up with some ideas of their own house. They can be expanding their services to provide the same things you're providing.
Yep.
And you're crazy busy doing what you're doing. And so if anybody's looking for things to do, you know, look at what Brian's doing, and you can, you know, in else. Other areas, you can do similar things. This is a great place to take a break and say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, Arcasnapper and FreshBooks. As platform sponsors, these companies have provided funding and support for our overall mission to become an influential force in this profession of architecture. They recognize the need for small firms to build better businesses in order to be better architects. ArcaSnapper is it's a simple tool for creating and managing field reports. It's so easy to use. With ArcaSnapper, architects can draft reports right on site using their phone or tablet. ArcaSnapper is easy to use and it saves tons of time. And I put ArcaSnapper to test in my own firm and I love it. Once I set it up and I understood all the bells and whistles and all the features and how it works, it's become a part of my regular workflow at project meetings. I take notes, I shoot photos, I sketch my thoughts right there on the photo. It's very cool. And it's all automatically uploaded to the cloud. So when I get back to the studio, I just log in at my desktop and I click a button and my field report is ready to go. That's it. Done. ArcaSnapper. Grow your business instead of struggling with field reports. If you want to learn more about ArcaSnapper and get a free 30-day trial, it's free. You might as well try it. EntreeArchitect.com/ArcaSnapper. Check it out. And FreshBooks. It's the easy-to-use invoicing software. It's actually an accounting software. It does so much more than invoicing. And it's designed to help us small firm owners get organized and save time and get paid faster. And it takes all the invoicing and all of the expense tracking and estimating and reporting. And it all happens in the cloud. So you have access to your information anywhere you have access to the internet. And yes, don't forget, FreshBooks and I have put together a series of videos, takes you inside the software of FreshBooks, shows you how to set it up, shows you how to get very quickly send off your first invoice. That's how I got started. I didn't even set the whole thing up. I just sent an invoice by email with a credit card, accepting credit cards, and boom, I got paid. It was awesome. Tim Lee of FreshBooks and I produced a whole series of these videos. You can go to entrearchitect.com/freshbooksvideo and check them out. They're free, and they take you inside. They're exclusive to Entree Architect. This is not anything else that FreshBooks is doing. They're only doing that with us. And so if you're ready to try FreshBooks after you check those videos out, or even if you want to try it right now, again, it's free. Go to freshbooks.com/architect. freshbooks.com/architect and sign up for your free 30-day trial. And don't forget to let them know that you came from us, Entree Architect, in the little slot that says, "How did you hear about us?" Entree Architect, freshbooks.com/architect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing, especially going through architecture school, you know, they there's a, not to say one minor process, but, you know, there's this situation, you come out, you're going to get licensed, and this is, you know, you're right. Going to sign and seal drawings for the rest of your life. There's hundreds of different opportunities as an architect. Yeah. I mean, they should call this degree the problem-solving degree, and that's really what we've been doing for people is they come to us in the last hour, you know, "Oh my God, this intern couldn't finish the renderings. Can you help us?" You know, we've been solving people's problems, and that's, as an architect, when we go to school for architecture, that's what we're trained to do, is solve problems for people. And that's.
I just had a conversation on episode 98 with Mark Teer of Black Spectacles, who is an architect with Gensler, and left traditional practice to start Black Spectacles because he wanted to have a greater impact on the profession and the world, and that was where his passion took him. Yep. He actually walked away from the traditional architecture firm. But you guys, it sounds like your plan is to become not necessarily a traditional architecture firm, but to get licensed and to open Design Blends Architecture.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, we definitely, see a need. Obviously, when it's always a hazy situation when someone goes, well, can you sign a CLS? Well, no, we can't. Here's a firm that does it for you. These guys will, walk you through the construction docs, CA, structural, MEP, everything, We'd love to offer part of that as our services, but also at the same time, we've been surviving fine without it. When a contract goes out and there's a fee in there for the architect consultant, right, that does all the permit drawings and MEP and structural, it's half the fee. It's over half the fee, yeah. Right? And we're still surviving on a quarter of it, helping them through the visuals and zoning side of things. So, it's definitely... We want to do it, but at the same time, we still haven't made that 100% decision that, yes, we're going to be a licensed architecture firm. We're kind of happy where we're at. And the fact that we are bringing work to architects has been, I feel, way more beneficial because they've been bringing a ton of work to us. Hey, we don't do visuals in-house. Do all our renderings and visualization and walk our clients through your 3D process that you're doing with people.
Right.
So that's been fun, too.
What do you think... Since we spoke last, what do you think is the best decision you made?
Best decision?
Because you've grown significantly, so you've made a whole lot of decisions. So what would you say is the best one, or maybe sure. a bunch of the right decisions?
I mean, I've got a lot of resistance from personal, family, from friends when I said in February 2014 I'm done, I'm going for it, let's see. I think that was one of the best decisions I made. I mean, I just jumped in the pool without any swimmies on and tried to float, and you learn a lot that way. And I think overall that was number one, was just go for it. I mean, I just turned 26 last on Saturday, actually, so
happy birthday.
Thank you. So being at this point where I am, I know I'm light years ahead of people, and not to boast or sound egotistical. It's just, I could have taken this jump at 32 and I'd be, 6 years behind, right? I think from my story and kind of the people I've been talking to, and when I go to juries at Philadelphia University, and when I go back to my alma mater, kids are always like, how'd you do it? What's the big secret? There's no secret. Just go for it.
Just do
it. You got to go for it. You got to jump. You're gonna do it at my age. You're gonna do it at 30, 35. Episode 98, whatever age he was against, or jump, just go. And you have your own ideas and your own things. And I think the second thing that I have to say is most important is that, I think the saying "hogs get fat, pigs get slaughtered" is the number two. I'm not a pig. I'm not. I'd rather share with people. I'd rather collaborate with people. Like I stated about the architectural fees. So what if we get a quarter of the fee? It's growing. It's advancing. It's building our portfolio, and it's allowing us to meet more people that are bringing us bigger projects and creating a better built environment for the profession. And number two is don't get selfless or be selfless, right? Be selfless. Don't be a hog. Don't be a pig. And that's number two. The third decision I made was finding the right people. I mean, the team we have in place, between Tony Hopkins, Scott Woodruff, Brent McDonald, Billy Wong. I mean, these guys that we have with me, they're irreplaceable. I mean, it's the team you build around you what's going to set you apart. Find the right people, take your time in hiring the right people, and the relationships you make with people outside, stay strong to your core values. That's what's going to help it.
So. Those are some great tips for anyone, whether you're starting from scratch or whether you've been in the practice for 20 years.
Yep.
Those are very good, very good tips. What about mistakes? What do you think your biggest mistake has been?
Biggest mistake? Oh, man. Well, for one, just to clarify, I guess add number four to the last one. You're going to make mistakes. It's a given. If you're fearful of making mistakes, don't jump. Stay at your current job.
Yeah.
But you learn from them. Our biggest mistake ever, honestly, Nothing comes to mind. I mean, it would be maybe missing a deadline on a Friday and gotten it done on a Monday.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe over-promising sometimes. You know, all right, yeah, we'll get that done in 24 hours, and then they throw a curveball at you, or the rendering. You know, we have massive rendering computers in house. It's like, all right, great, rendering's halfway through and the thing crashes, right? Like now, how do you make your deadline when it's been rendering for the last 4 hours, right? So it's, I think it would be deadline-wise, make sure you can always fulfill your client's needs. That's number one. Number two is, you know, when you get to a certain point, people are going to start pulling at you from all angles. You know, they're going to want to work with you. They're going to want this, create that partnership, this, that. You know, just stay level headed and don't get dragged in different directions that you're not able to fulfill. And that's mistake wise. That's where,
yeah,
I would say.
So you said by starting your firm, while you were in school and you've had all of this experience that you're light years ahead, do you think that you've missed anything by not going the traditional route of doing more intern and more time in someone else's studio? Do you think you've missed any opportunities there?
I think that's a great point. There's a great book. I mean, Michael Gerber is going to thank me, The E-Myth by Michael Gerber.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time.
Yeah, that's, yeah. If you haven't read that book, go buy it off of Amazon for $7. It's the best read you'll ever have. I think it's understanding what you're best suited at. You know, right now, I don't have an intention of becoming, you know, getting licensed person. I have my IDP hours, they're all done. But right now on my agenda, my next 5-year goals, I don't see myself as a licensed architect. But I've created relationships with people that have that experience, that haven't skipped that step, that have that knowledge to allow us to advance. I'm best suited on the business development side, the 5-year goal, the 10-year goal, the 15-year goal, and making sure that we hit those marks and knowing when to put the right professional in place. So I'm more on the entrepreneur side of the business. And, you know, on the management side and technician side, you know, we have the most talented people to fulfill those areas. So
that's a very good lesson for people who are in a similar position you were 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, or however it was when you started, you know, and they're considering doing what you've done. To know who you are, know your strengths and know your weaknesses, and make sure that you're actually prepared for jumping. Because like you said, your passion and your strength is entrepreneurism and running the business.
Correct.
If your passion and your interest and your strength is design and it's not really business, you may have a tough struggle to launch a firm.
And I mean, you know, in the beginning, you know, when we first jumped, I was doing, you know, a ton of the work. I was doing at least half the work. I haven't opened up Revit, CAD, or any of those softwares in the past 6 months. I don't. I mean, you know, as much as it kills me, you know, the guys in the office know, like, Photoshop wise, like, I was the Photoshop king, right? I knew every hotkey. I could make anything look real in Photoshop, right? But unfortunately, there's a point that comes, and as much as you like it, you have to go one way or the other. You can't play all the hats. You can't. It's physically impossible. You know, when a client calls and asks a zoning question, like, what's a CMX doing? And can I put a duplex there? Well, yeah, you can. Let me talk to Scott. Scott knows, okay. And I call the client back and go, yes, the first 30 feet on the ground floor needs to be commercial, and you can do the duplex above. It's got to be real, right? So it's working within the team and not trying to wear all the hats. If you feel like you need to wear all the hats, I don't think you can progress your business as quickly as you want. Not to say it won't progress, not to say you won't grow, but if you just put on one of those hats and find the other people to fill the other voids around you, the technician, you know, if you want to be the manager and you want to manage every project and design everything, well, that's great. Find the person that's going to run the business and find the people that are going to do the work for you. If you don't, you know, so I think that, you know, lesson, what's that, number 5 now? That would be, you know, wear the hat that you're most passionate about.
Yeah, that's very good advice. That's really a major key to our success at Five Cat Studio as well, is that Anne-Marie is passionate about design, mm-hmm. and she is a fabulous architect, and I, you know, my passion is business and building a business. And so the two of us, and I don't do any design anymore. I love it. I like to draw, I like to design, but that's, you know, my passion is the business. Yeah. And I stick with the business, and Anne-Marie sticks with the design, and it works. And so I think that's great advice. It's interesting to talk to you today as opposed to 2 years ago, because you've matured quite a bit as well. I hear it in your voice. I hear it in the things you're saying. If you listen to episode 8, it's a very different Brian, which is good. I think that's a great thing to do is to see that growth, because it, 2 years is quite a bit, but 2 years from coming right out of architecture school and having all of that experience, you've sort of compacted, 10 years of somebody else's development into, 2 years. And it's,
it also comes down to, it's a mental thing for one, for sure. It's very, I'm not mature enough yet. It's a mental thing. If you're positive enough, you know what you want to do, you can do it. The second thing I think that's kind of played into that was the people I deal with on a daily basis. I get phone calls from the principals of firms that are managing 200 people, and they call us, "Hey, Brian, we need 8 hours of design blends this time today. Can you help us out?" Right? So I'm dealing with the heads of these different organizations that usually, even if you work there, you might not either interface with them. You might see them at a holiday party, right? So having that different level of integration with these different principals and heads of firms and lead designers has also shown me, given me almost a role model in a way to follow. Like, oh wow, this is how these guys run their stuff. This is how these firms are operating. And there's a lot to be learned from that for sure.
Yeah. Now with everything that you know, and you have lots of time to go ahead. I mean, you're still very young, and your firm is very young. But everything that you've learned to this point, would you? Because then I think in episode 8 you recommended that that other architecture students do what you did. Would you still recommend that other architecture students do what you did?
I would love to say yes immediately. Yes, go for it, do it. But know that it's a struggle. It's not for everybody. It's not. I mean, there's been times where I wanted to give up and say, "Nope, I'm going to go do this and go back and just do this that way." And it's going to happen to you. It takes the right mental state to do it. It really does. I mean, that's all I can really comment on that now. I mean, I think back then, I was still a little immature. I was like, "Oh no, let's go for it. Let's do it." But it was still maintaining that positive attitude and that positive mentality, saying, "You know what? Maybe I can do it. Maybe." And if the positive, words in your mind and the positive people you're surrounding yourself with outweigh the negatives, I think it's possible if anything is. So
yeah, that's a good answer. I mean, it's positive mind and confidence and surrounding your people with the right people, surrounding yourself with the right people. So important at any point when you launch your firm, even if you do go through the entire, internship process and then decide, to start your own firm, everything that you're describing is things that we all need to do and learn. So, great information. It's great to talk to you. Your studio is Design Blends. So it's DesignBlendz. So Design Blend with a Z on the end of it.
I say that at least once a day, Z with a zebra, as he is in zebra.
That's right. Design Blends with a Z with a zebra. Your little place on the world on the internet is designblends.com. If anybody's interested in checking you out there or working with you, you're on Twitter at Design Blends.
Yep.
So you're all over. Is there any place else that anybody might want to reach out? If somebody has any questions for you, where should they reach out to you?
You can send it to brian@designblends.com. That would be fun. I'll get to it. I promise. The guys in the office refer to my email as a black hole, but it does get answered, as you probably well know, right?
Yeah.
You get to it. You can definitely reach me there for sure. I'd be happy to answer any questions or give any advice as possible.
Okay. Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for sharing your knowledge here today at the Entree Architect Podcast.
Great. Thanks for having me, Mark. Appreciate it.
We are growing here at Entree Architect, and it only happens because of you, with your help. So share a link to this episode. Go to your email right now and send a link for entrearchitect.com/episode101. Send it to all of your friends. Email it to every architect you know, because this is how we're going to spread the word. This is how we're going to build better businesses. This is how we're going to influence the profession and become better architects. I appreciate your support, and I thank you. Thank you for spreading the word. So go share it right now. Don't forget. Complete show notes and a direct link to this episode can be found at entrearchitect.com/episode101. And a great way to not miss any episode or any blog that we write at Entree Architect is to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. I send you a personal letter, and I have a link to the blog, and I have a link to the podcast every week. Never miss it. Entrearchitect.com/newsletter. Sign up. It's free. It's awesome. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. And I encourage you to go share what you know. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns. What's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.